Yesterday, I was able to spend about an hour, over an hour, with Walt, our brother Walt. And before I left, he says, okay, I know you're going to tell everybody. You know, Walt is very private. He said, I know you're going to tell everybody how I'm doing. But yeah, keep them in your prayers. But I want to say this, guys. Love your families. They might not love you. But as long as much as it depends on you, have peace with everyone. You know, our brother is 82. 82 is not old. I think 97 is kind of old, you know. Because I remember when a 50-year-old used to be like, old man. Now, man, 50-year-old's like, brand new, you know. Because I'm 47. It's all about perspective, right? So... But I asked Walt, I said, Walt, you know, what would you tell me at, you know, where you're at and at 82 and stuff? Something he said that just stayed with me all night. He said, you know, we are fighting in life for all this stuff, for all this other stuff. I mean, you got to work. But he's like, I see people just getting frustrated over stuff. He said, at the end of the day, I mean, here I am. You know how strong Walt is? He's weak. Our body will waste away. Take care of your body. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You feed your body good stuff. You exercise. You surround yourself with positive people. You serve God. But at the same time, take care of the most important thing, the real you, your spirit. And I was very encouraged to see him hopeful. But at the same time, he was just like, man, those were his words. He says, I'm useless, but physically. In just for that moment, he's not useless. He's not hopeless. But for me, it was just like, wow. I was talking to a different man yesterday. He told me, don't come see him. Because he doesn't want you to see him in the hospital. I said, don't worry, Walt. I'll tell him. But I can come see you. Okay, but hopefully he can be home this morning. We love Walt. Listen, love your family. Love the body of Christ. I believe the closer we get to Jesus, the more important, the more you will see the importance of being part of the body of Christ. There's a lot of people who are church hurt out there because of other people misrepresenting a good God. But also, don't hold anybody on a pedestal. Don't put anybody on a pedestal. That's why we say here, Jesus Christ is our Lord. I'm not your Lord. Yes, I am the little shepherd. But as long as you notice I'm following Jesus, you do. God have mercy, but the moment I screwed up or, you know, God have mercy. The moment, lead, I shouldn't take an example on me, but the moment other people screwed up, listen, don't let anybody cause you to fall short from the glory of God. Because we do live in the last day. So I pray for people who are church hurt, that they would understand, they would get a revelation of God's love. Kendra said it, if you are here, you would like to discover what restoration is about. We offer this gathering every 3 months. We try to be intentional. Sometimes we don't have anybody to take part of it, but other times we do. So if you want to know what restoration is about, please stay. You know, lunch will be provided. It's not a class where we're going to force you into membership. No, it's just... we're giving this opportunity for people that are recently coming to see and hear what we're about, you know, tell them our stories, you know, and talk about covenant and stuff. But it's not a class where after you're done, you become a member. No, no. Okay? Open your Bibles with me in Exodus chapter 32. Thank you, Lord. And I want to also say thanks to all of you who bring your Bibles to church. God bless you for doing that. And I will keep saying that. It's good to have your Bibles on your phone. It's amazing. But have a physical Bible. When you go on vacation, first thing you put on your in your bag should be your Bible, your God notebook. You know, do not let the word of God depart from your lips. Meditate on it day and night. You will know how to live. And when you live according to the word of God, the Bible, the word of God says you will succeed. You will have success. Okay? Exodus 32. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump on different verses and I'll tell you where to go exactly. But I want to bring a story about, you know, you guys remember when Israelites left Egypt? It was a big, yes, God deliver us from under slavery. And then Moses went up to the mountain. If you read them, and you guys can, maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, go and read Exodus chapter 25 to maybe 40. So Moses went up there, verse 1 in Exodus 32. We're not going to put it on the screen. If you have your Bible, Exodus 32, verse 1, it says, when the people saw how long it was taking Moses to come back down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron. Come on, they said, make us some gods who can lead us. Let me tell you this. Everybody's looking for something to worship. You were created for worship. We're talking about living a life of worship. I was created for worship. I mean, worship is when you hold something very dear. You know what I mean? Let's just take for a simple example. You remember when you bought that new car? You know, we bought that new car. It's spanking new. You know, it's like it's shiny. It's like every day you're wiping it. Man, it's been 4 years old now. Do you give it the same attention?
No.
No, it's like it's not new anymore. And then we, human, we look for the next thing we can worship. So we were created for worship. So the people, they said to Aaron, come on, make us some gods who can lead us. Everybody is looking for something to lead them. We don't know what happened to this fellow Moses. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, who brought us out from the land of Egypt, verse 2. So Aaron said, Aaron, when you study Aaron, he was a weak leader. He listened to the people. He cared more about what people think than what God thinks. That's why a strong leader, you need to love the people, but you mustn't listen to the people. Because the people will always lead you astray. You know, for example, Kendra said it. You know, sometimes in the past, I don't think it happens anymore. Some people would be like, well, Pastor, actually somebody told me, Pastor, why don't you ever sing Amazing Grace? Amazing. It happens. Some people come to me, they say, Pastor, why don't you ever lead us in Amazing Grace? When I first came here, there was a lady, she came to me, she said, Pastor, why don't you ever lead us to the Lord's Prayer? On Sunday morning, so she expected me to lead her in the Lord's Prayer. And I said, why do I have to lead you in the Lord's Prayer? Why don't you pray the Lord's Prayer on your own? But it's just tradition. So my challenge for her was, why don't you seek God in the Lord's Prayer on your own instead of me, come on, everybody stand up. They don't have to stand up. Everybody stand up. Let's just pray. How does the Lord's Prayer go again? I forgot it. Our Father. Okay, there you go. All right, yeah, Our Father. Just checking on you. Okay, you got it. Okay, you see? Hey, A plus, you guys, you're good. Okay, so people are looking for someone to lead them. And unfortunately, Aaron was a weak prayer, a weak leader during that time. So you know what he did. All the people took their gold wings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. And then Aaron took the gold melted down, and story goes on and on. And then The people got excited in verse 5. So he built an altar in front of, he built a calf, and then he built an altar. And then he told the people, tomorrow will be festival to the Lord. So right there, you see, Aaron is mixing witchcraft. Let me tell you this. You cannot mix serving the true God, the God of Almighty, with witchcraft. Halloween, serving Buddha, serving whatever other god, false god. You cannot mix witchcraft. As a matter of fact, some people use the name of God as, you know, oh, God this, God that. They think because they mention the name of God, that would open doors. No, you can't use the name of God as a, in a witchcraft mindset. I should say it like that. Verse 6, it says, the people got up early the next morning to sacrifice burnt offering. You see, God, our Father, He gives us free will. And I believe there's nothing more powerful than a free will person choose. I have decided. Like for me, I have decided to follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus, like the disciples. They know the cost. You know, back in the days, it used to be, I even growing up in Haiti, it's just like there was this saying or this mindset, the moment you come to Jesus, all your trouble will be solved. That's false. No. Jesus in his own word, he said, when you come to me, you pick up your cross, you deny yourself, you follow me. If you leave mother, father, brother, sisters, families for my sake, you will gain more mothers, more fathers, more brothers, a bigger family. And he says, with a lot of persecution. When you are serious about following Jesus, you will be persecuted. So you think twice about following Christ, the real Jesus, the Jesus we read from the Bible. So let's go back. We're talking about verse 6, the devotion for the people. The people wake up early in the morning. You know, have you ever seen, I used to be a car salesman back in 2009. That was the worst job ever. I couldn't sell a car, guys. I couldn't sell a car. I worked there for 9 months. I sold 2 cars, one to my best friend, one to Kendra's uncle. I don't know, for some reason I couldn't sell a car. But I remember one time there was a guy, he came to me and he wanted to buy a car. It was certain time during the day, and he told me, would you please excuse me? And he pulled something out of his bag, laid down, and he went down like this. And he was doing whatever he was doing, and I'm sitting on my desk. I'm like, man, this guy is devoted to his prayer. Do you know other religion? I don't want to name any group, but you know, some other religion, they look at Christians, they're like, they're a bunch of jokes. Because us Christians, some Christians, I don't want to talking about us, but some Christians, they're the worst undisciplined people ever. You're not disciplined in reading your Bible. You're not disciplined in prayer. So you think, well, oh, how about my devotion? Your devotion. We're talking about devotion, not necessarily talking. We're not necessarily reading a couple of scriptures. We're talking about devotion. I'm devoted. Like it says here. The people were devoted the next morning. They wake up early to burnt sacrifice to who? A built calf. Let's go. They said the people early next morning wake up to burnt sacrifice. So I pray this morning that you would check out your devotion to God. The more discipline you add into your walk with the Lord, the closer you get to Him. God is a God of discipline. I believe one of the thing that would characterize a true follower of Jesus is discipline. Now, I don't read my Bible because I have to. I want to. Oh, yeah. I'm not serving God because I have to. I want to. I want to. Well, I'm not playing my music because I have to. No. I want to. I count it a privilege. Remember what I said a couple weeks ago. Serving God, worshiping God is serving God. It's serving God. Serving Him is hold Him high. Please do not look up to people. People will fail you. People will fail you. Let me tell you this. People will fail you. People will disappoint you. People will break your heart. People you give your life to will break your heart. May the Lord give us all grace to forgive them and move forward. That's why you must not keep your eyes on people. You hold people like this. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. So let's go back to Exodus. Verse 7. The Lord told Moses, quick, go down to the mountain. Your people whom you brought from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. What happening? What's happening here? God is saying, your people? God is telling Moses, they're your people? Do you remember in previous chapters, God called Moses, He says, I hear the pain, the voice of my people. But now God is telling Moses, they're your people. How quickly they have turned away from the way I have commanded them to live. They have melted down gold and made a calf. And they have bowed down and sacrificed to him. They are saying, these are the gods. You see, the Israelites, they already forgot what God has done for them. May you never forget where you came from the Lord. Never. That's why when you worship, I said it here before, I'm going to repeat myself. When you worship God, please, if your mind is playing tricks on you, say, asking you, don't do this, don't do that, don't raise your hand. We can't save you. When we worship, it's all about Jesus. I thank God for the freedom we have to express ourselves in many different ways of worship. The time has come. As a matter of fact, it's here. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, meaning God is spirit, so you worship Him anywhere, anyhow, with reverence. So it doesn't matter if we have instruments. It doesn't matter if we use the drums. It doesn't matter if we use the guitar. It doesn't matter if we use hymns. Or whatever else, songs. It grieves me when people talks about, oh man, I don't like traditional services. I think a dead service is a service you should stay away from. And you know what a dead service looks like? It's a service where the Spirit of the Lord is not active. It's a service where the Spirit of the Lord has no room to move. Everything is so structured. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, and then we go through service. Let's go verse 9. Then the Lord said, I have seen how stubborn and rebellious these people are. Everybody pray with me. Lord, don't let me be stubborn. Now let's try that again. Let's pray this with sincere hearts, God. Because I read this, I prayed this. I said, is this a good time for us to do like a one accord prayer? Let's pray with me. Lord, don't let me be stubborn. Amen. And do you know how to fight your stubbornness? Let me tell you. If you notice you're stubborn, you surrender. You obey. If you notice you're stubborn, you obey. If you notice you're not doing the things you must do, what do? You start. Repentance is, this is repentance. I was going here. Repent. Oh, okay. This is not good for me. I turn. Change direction. Change your ways. Oh. But Moses, verse 11, tried to pacify to the Lord. To pacify the Lord, his God. Oh Lord, he said, why are you so angry with your own people? Whom you... See, now Moses is having a good dialogue with God, saying, God, remember, they're your people. Why are you so mad with them? And I want such heart. I want Moses' heart. When people are disobeying, when people are stubborn, I want the heart of Moses instead of being... When I read this, I'm like, man, Moses, let God give it to them. Come on, Moses, let God kill them. I'm thinking, come on, Moses, what are you doing? Let God, you know, let God show them a lesson. No. Moses is like, oh, God, Father, what a heart. What a heart. I want that heart. I want the heart of Moses. Because right here, Moses has a good cause. Moses could be like, you know what, God? They're very stubborn. They're really stubborn, God. These people? Hey! God, I'm so glad you see that. I'm so glad you notice they're stubborn. Right? Moses could have been like, yes, God. Oh, finally. Oh, Lord, you see what I'm going through? Moses could have, you understand what I'm saying? Moses could have been saying that stuff. But Moses is like, oh, God, please. Yes, they're stubborn, but Lord, remember your promises. And Moses even goes on to say, he said, now leave me alone. God says, leave me alone. Verse 10, so my fierce anger can blaze against them. I will destroy them. Then I'll make you, Moses, into a great nation. But Moses tried to pacify with the Lord, his God. Lord, you said, why are you angry with your own people whom you brought from the land of Egypt with such great power and such strong hand? Verse 12, why left the Egyptians say their God rescued them with the evil intention to slaughtering them in the mountain and wiping them from the face of the earth? Turn away from your fierce anger. Change. This is intercession. This is intercession. If you don't know what intercession is, you say, God, turn anger away from our nation. Turn hearts back to you, Lord. Lord, remember your promises to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You bound yourself with an oath to them saying, I will make your descendant as numerous as the stars of heaven. Verse 14. So the Lord's anger, the Lord's changed his mind about the terrible disaster he had threatened to bring on his people. Do we? Must we intercede, guys? See this? It's like, Lord, please don't bring judgment. You see, God is looking for people to partner here on earth with. And we say, here we are, God. Oh, I love it. Verse 15. Then Moses turned and went down to the mountain. Then you can read the rest at home, but I'm going to jump from chapter 32, verse 30. The next day, Moses said to the people, you have committed a terrible sin, but I will go back to the Lord on the mountain. Perhaps you will be able to obtain forgiveness for your sin. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, what a terrible sin these people have committed. They have made gods of gold for themselves. But now, if you will only forgive their sin. But if not, Moses is like, kill me, God. God, I would rather die than you kill them. This is a heart of a good pastor. That's the heart I want. I say, God, don't judge them. Give them grace. If I must be if anybody must be perished among them, please punish me. Wow, oh Lord. Yes, what a man. But the Lord replied to Moses, verse 33, but the Lord replied to Moses, no, I will erase the name of everyone who has sinned against me. Verse 34, now go, lead the people to the place I told you about. You see, God, He wants to partner with us. We sing it earlier, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger. But I tell you, when God gets angry, that's why we thank God for Jesus. We thank Him for Jesus, for the cross. Because right now, listen, God's not judging anybody. It is God's love that will turn people's heart towards Him. Okay? At the same time, remember, do not hold people's past against them. Yes, when they sin, it's going to be a public event. It's going to bring shame to the name of the church. People, a lot of people might die, like I talked about a couple weeks ago, you know, because of leaders in the church falling. But you don't know, you won't know when they are in their closet repenting before the Lord. So do not hold people's sin, past sin against them. Do not hold your past against you, because your past will not define your future. The enemy wants to hold you right there. He wants to hold you in the past mind. He wants to hold you in your past hurt. So you can't move. You can't enter your destiny. God has a great destiny for you. He wants you to live free. He's not done with you. Listen, if He was done with you, you would be dead. You remind the enemy that. If God would be done with you, He'd be like, all right, bring him home. You die. He's not done with you. That's the good news. And the enemy wants people to remain in their past. God wants you to live a life of worship, a life that honors Him in all you do. And then we go back, verse 35, it says, then the Lord sent a great plague upon the people because they had worshipped the calf Aaron had made. That day, a lot of them died. Let me tell you this again. Everything people do on earth, it will have a repercussion. Is that the word? Precaution. Yeah. Tell me again. Repercussion. That. Everything you do, it will affect people. Now we go to verse 1 in chapter 33. The Lord said to Moses, get going. You and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt, go up to the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanite, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Those people. Man, you can tell they were bad people just by the name. Okay? So God changed His mind. He said, all right, Moses, you go ahead. I'm going to bring you and those people, I'm going to bring you to the land of promise. And all these bad people, you're going to destroy them. But I'm not going. And let me tell you this. How many of us, now you know what I'm talking about, but how many of us would settle for just an angel? I mean, even if the Lord would open my eyes every day so I see which angel is sitting in front of my car, on top of my car, right? You know, we all have a guardian angel, right? Do you believe that? Yeah. The Bible says the angels are there to watch over you. And believe it or not, God sent angels watching over you. You have no idea how many times, how many ways the enemy tried to kill you before your time. You have no idea. You do have angels watching over you. They're watching over you. That's right. Amen. That's right, my son. You know? So how many of us would just settle for the angel? I mean, if God would speak literally like this to me, saying, Ricardo, don't worry, man. You've got two angels every morning. I was like, oh, yes, Lord. Awesome. I said, would you open my eyes so I can see what they look like? But here, I love Moses' heart. Oh, he says, Moses, I'll send my angel. He says, I will send an angel with you, before you, to drive. So the angel will fight your fight. And then jump to verse 12. One day Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me. So Moses and God's been having this conversation. And then Moses is going back to the conversation. He's like, well, you've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. Really? Didn't God told him? So Moses is not settled for an angel. I don't want angels here. I mean, I want angel, but I'm not settle for angels. I pray. I say, Lord, let the angelic activities happening here. When we worship you, worship ushers in the presence of God. The presence of God soften our hearts to receive his word. But I pray all the time, every day I'm here, the morning when we pray with our worship team, I said, Lord, let there be angelic. Let us operate under open heaven. Meaning, let the angels come in and out, up and down. Maybe, Lord, open up our spiritual eyes so we can see them sometimes. But I'm not settling for just angels. This is what I want. This is our heart's cry. Moses said, you haven't told me. I know you by name. But if you told me you know me by name and you have find favor in you, verse 13, if it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. Remember, this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you. God changed his mind. And that's, we sing, let us become more aware. I pray that you become more aware. Everywhere you go, you carry a presence. Guess what? Everywhere I go, I carry a presence. Why? God's with me. Let me tell you, don't act cheap out there. Every situation you face, do not act cheap. Because you carry the presence of God Almighty. Come on, guys. You carry a presence. When you go into a place, you don't have to speak. Preach the gospel. Use words as necessary, if necessary. God is with you. I will personally go with you. And then there's a verse. I don't know where it's at. I didn't mark it, but where it says, Moses said, now if your presence doesn't go, guess what? We're not moving here. And that's our prayer. You know, living a life of worship, I want you to put the next screen the next slide on the screen. The tabernacle was the portable earthly dwelling place of Yahweh, the God of Israel. That tabernacle was used as a physical evidence of God's presence among the people, especially after Exodus 32-33, what happened? God told Moses, you must build something so the people knows I am in their midst. Go to the next one. You see, now we were created to worship God. We have no greater purpose as a congregation here but to worship God. I tell you, let me break it to you. Here we have no greater purpose than worshiping God. We must live a life of reverence to Jesus. A life of reverence to God. To enter his presence should be our greatest ambition. I know everybody wants to be a millionaire. But you know what? It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad thing to have a lot of money. You can give more to the kingdom if that's your purpose. But listen, your utmost goal in life as a believer is to experience the glory of God. Thank you for those little amens. Amen. Thank you. To come into the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, to encounter the presence of the Holy God where He wants us to be. See, God wants us to encounter Him in the Holy of Holies. And I want you to see this pattern. This is a pattern. The Lord told Moses, the people in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2, the Lord said to Moses, warn your brother Aaron not to enter the most holy place behind the inner curtain whenever he chooses. You need to understand, in the Old Testament, this is like a blueprint of the temple. You see where it says the Ark of Covenant with Shekinah glory? The Shekinah glory is the manifest presence of God. Not everybody could go in there anytime they want. See, here in our church, I pray every one of you have a relationship with Jesus. I pray every one of you have a relationship with Jesus. But there might be some of you here, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. But guess what? You're here. Back in the Old Testament, only the priest could come. Now, guys, if you are here and your walk with the Lord is not where it should be, repent, accept Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Him, make Him Lord, like we prayed earlier, Jesus, You are my King, You're my Lord. This pattern should help us understand. Go to the next one, because I give you some details here. There's a pathway to the presence of the Lord. The first one is enter. You see the entrance gate? There's a song, we might sing it next week. It says, take me out of the outer court. Right there. See where the altar is, the burning offering. This is where the Pharisees decided they're going to starting a flea market out there. Because somebody among the Pharisees had a great idea. They said, you know what, guys? Instead of having the people to carry their goats 4 miles, why don't we sell goat in the temple? We've got foreigners coming off from all over the world. Instead of having them exchange their money, why don't we establish a bank, a little bank that changes money, and we make a profit? See, when Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem, that's what He cleared out. He's like, man, you guys, what are you doing? My house, the house of the Lord, must be a house of prayer. That's why as you enter these doors, I want all of you moving forward, you enter the door, the house of the Lord, with reverence. You enter. As you come into the Lord's house, yeah, you enter in Abba's house, there's freedom. But I want you to know, hey, I enter God's place. And thank God for the blood of Jesus. Worship is a place we enter. Number one, the door. We enter. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, under the new covenant, we have Jesus. He give us access to the Father. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Nothing you can do. Unless you have Jesus in your heart, you're wasting your life, your time in service. John 10 verse 9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The message of the gospel, are you saved? It was very encouraging talking to my brother yesterday at the hospital. He's like, man, you know, I'm ready. There's nothing like I hope he doesn't die. He's not going to die. He's fine. But there's nothing like start thinking, man, I'm ready to die. You know, some of you here, you might be 20, 15, whatever your age is. You're thinking, man, I've got this whole life in front of me. Really? It's tomorrow promised? Thank you. So are you ready? Is Jesus in your heart? Is Jesus your Lord? Do you know Him? Does He know you? I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. Do you have eternal life? Are you saved? Are you saved? And as I ask this, you should know I'm saved. And I'm talking to the youngest, from the youngest to the oldest person here. And even people watching this online. Are you saved? Jesus is coming back. Are you saved? Or death might come anytime, unexpected. Am I saved? And verse 10 says, the enemy, the thief, comes only to do three things. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullness, to the fullness. And then go back to the slide. The next step is sacrifice and confess. The altar is the place where we confess our sin. That's why when you come before the Lord, if you have sin in your heart, guys, man, I remember in my own walk with the Lord, there was a time, man, it's like I wasn't delivered. When you're not delivered from under the law of sin, it's like you're always sinning. And when you come before the Lord, your conscience is always like, you always have dirt on your conscience. And of course, you're going to be like, oh, Jesus, please forgive me. But man, have you made a decision? You know, God will not work outside your will. God is not like Satan. Jezebel spirit. They come and possess people. Halloween spirit. Demonic spirit. When they come, they possess people. And they get them to do crazy things. The Holy Spirit is not like that. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never forced himself on anybody. He's knocking. Hello? You here? I'm here.
Who's this?
It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Guess what? I bring light. I bring life. I bring common sense. I bring common sense. Especially now. You think, what happened to common sense? I tell you, we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit gives common sense. Holy Spirit makes you wise. Holy Spirit, if you don't know what to do, you ask for counsel. There are people who have gone before you. Ask them, what do you think? So and so. You don't become wise in your own eyes. The altar, the number two, is the burnt offering. You confess your sin. Listen. Confess your sin, pray for each other, you'll be healed. Whatever is bothering you, find someone you can trust. And I believe in our midst, we've got good leaders. Kendra and I, we made ourselves available for that. Find people, confess your sin, be healed. There's no time to be like dragging a bunch of... Let me tell you, success, especially for the young people here. But it's not just that, it's amazing. I meet some 65-year-old. I'm like, you're 65 years old? That's not that old, but man, you're like 65, 70, and you're still dealing with pornography? You've been married for 50 years, so you're going to throw your marriage vows away for junk? I don't get it. This is once again where the Holy Spirit kicks in. He gives you common sense. Success is predictable. You're young. Right now, you have all your life to prepare. But if you start drinking, smoking, partying, guess what? When you're 45, you're going to be like, what happened to my life? But when you're young, you study. You surround yourself with people you want to be like. When I was growing up, I thank God for that. When I was growing up, that was kind of my thing. I looked people who I wanted to be like. I had a lot of losers around me. I'm like, well, I don't want to be like them. And unfortunately, all those losers, some of them died. Unfortunately, they made bad choices. So the temple, the altar, you confess your sin as you enter. Come, without Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we would remain separated from God. Because look at this. Number one, you enter. Now, I want you to go way back there on number five, where the Ark of Covenant here. That right there showed the people, God just poured a little portion of his presence so people would be aware God lives among them. I believe the more we understand the pattern of the tabernacle, the more we'll realize when we come together as a worship, what a privilege it is. Wow. What a privilege we have. And I want to finish with this. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Verse 10. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So as I continue to do this, I want the image back on there again. Those five steps. You enter. And then the next one is the sacrifice, the altar, the ark of burnt offering. And then the next one, I'm going to get to that next week, is set apart. We've been set apart. And I believe moving forward, we need to live our lives with that mindset. You're special. You're God's people. You holy people. Amen?